Thank you for listening to First Home California.
This podcast discusses customary practices during the escrow process from the perspective of an experienced agent in Sacramento County. It does not provide a definitive description of California law regarding escrows. If you have any questions about the legal requirements for an escrow, please consult an attorney. From the California Department of Real Estate, this is First Home California, helping Californians buy their first home. I'm Christina Jimenez, and thank you for joining us. The Department of Real Estate created this podcast to provide you with knowledge and insights to help you get to a place where you know what to expect during the home buying process, and to help you make sure you're ready to make informed decisions about what will likely be the biggest purchase of your life. Each episode focuses on a specific part of the home buying process, so be sure to hit follow on your podcast app so you'll never miss an episode. Today, we're officially starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel. That's because you've made an offer on a home, and now the process of turning over ownership from them to you starts. This process is called escrow. During escrow, a neutral third party holds money and documents and ensures that all conditions of the sale are met before the property and money change hands. Joining me today to help us go through the ins and outs of the escrow process is Lynn Bishop. Lynn is one of those people who must have started their real estate career as a child. Let's just say that he has multiple decades of experience in the industry, no doubt dealing with dozens and dozens of first home buyers. Welcome, Lynn. We are really happy to have you here with us today.
Good morning. Thank you very much for inviting me.
As a home buyer, the biggest hurdle is probably reaching an agreement with the seller to buy their home. Is that when escrow officially starts, or what needs to happen in order for you to be in escrow?
Yes, once the purchase contract is signed by the seller and the buyer, then the agents open up escrow and we receive the contract. We open up the escrow, assign it an escrow number, and our title department immediately begins doing the research to generate a preliminary report to show everybody the condition of the property from a public record point of view.
So when escrow starts, it might feel like things are going to move very fast. Can you talk a little bit about the mindset a first-time home buyer should have during escrow?
Yes. The first thing that they're going to need to do is put in their earnest money deposit. And we also, nowadays, with a technology, we will send them a new buyer information package, and we do it electronically to make it a lot easier. It's a lot easier to punch something in once than to have to write it in five or six times on the documents. But yeah, once it's opened, I get calls from excited buyers telling me, you know, they're very excited. This is their first time buying a home, and what can they expect? And I'm always very happy to go over the process with them. You put your earnest money down, and then it gets applied to your closing costs. And then our preliminary report is generated, and your lender takes a look at it, and they're running your credit, and they're running everything, and making sure they get the loan in that's just right for you. And then once we get the loan documents in, we call everybody to schedule a signing and ask for the final dollars to close, and then we close escrow, and your agent hands you the keys.
Great. Okay, so now maybe when someone's officially in escrow, that means using the services of an escrow company. So Lynn, maybe a three-part question here. First, who is responsible for identifying an escrow company to use? Two, is that something the home buyer has say in? And three, who contacts the escrow company to open an escrow account?
Okay, it's pretty specific to the county in which you live. I'm in Sacramento County, and it's typical for the listing agent who represents the seller to open up the escrow. Often, it'll be done before there's a buyer so that we can get the preliminary report run and see if there's anything affecting the property that might take a little longer to deal with and address and resolve. And then, like in other counties, like the Bay Area, I believe it's chosen by the buyer, and typically it's who's paying the fees, the title and escrow fees. So if the buyer's paying the title and escrow fees, they choose. If the seller's paying it, then they choose. The second question is, there something the buyer has a say in? They can always write it into the contract. For example, I have known this escrow officer for some amount of time, and I'd really like them to be used. And in Sacramento, that will often work, and the seller will accept it. But sometimes the seller says, well, we've already got it opened, and it's going to stay there. But it's very rare that a buyer writes in who the escrow officer is going to be that's handling the transaction. Third question was,
Who contacts
the escrow? Okay. So once there's a purchase agreement, the listing agent in Sacramento will forward us the contract and say, please open escrow. And then we send out an opening announcement to the both realtors and their TCs. And maybe the loan officer might be on that email. And we confirm the opening of the escrow. And then we, you know, contact the buyer for their earnest money deposit, et cetera. But yeah, typically it's the listing agent in our region.
Lynn, in previous episodes, we've talked a little bit about earnest money deposit, and I think you might have mentioned it here just a few minutes ago, but that's the money you put down to tell the seller that you're serious about purchasing the home. Is this the point when you have to pay that deposit, and do you usually give a check to your real estate agent?
Good question. This is the point where you have to put down the earnest money deposit, and it is applied to your closing costs. So when you come to the closing table, the amount that's needed is, for example, if it was a $5,000 earnest money deposit, it's applied to that, and then you just bring in the difference to the closing. It is telling the seller that you're serious about buying the property, and it is due, generally it's marked on the contract, it's due within 3 days after the contract is signed, and it is most of the time refundable if you have not released your contingencies. So I think the contingency period is around 17 days, depending on the terms of your contract. You know, if you have not released those contingencies, then it's fully refundable. And we typically don't collect any fees out of it on our side unless we've incurred expenses, which is rare. You 99% of the time, they get 100% of their deposit back if they cancel. You asked, does it go to the real estate agent? And typically the answer is no. They typically will wire transfer it to us. That's what the purchase contract says. But often it can be done by cashier's check or a personal check. We just tell them to drop it off at any one of our offices or wire it to us.
Thank you. Very helpful. So maybe let's talk a little bit about some of the other things that take place during escrow, starting with your title search and title insurance. Mm-hmm. Maybe you can define both of those for us and tell us what happens with them during escrow.
Sure. So when we do a title search, we have what we call our title plant, and we have title officers, and they actually search the property to make sure that it's insurable. After all, we are an insurance company, and we'll look for matters of record against the seller. For example, the most common is obviously a deed of trust. So if the seller has a mortgage that they pay, then we're going to reflect that on our preliminary report, and that's a must-pay item. So we don't want the buyer getting stuck with any of the seller's mortgages or liens, so that's definitely addressed and paid when we close escrow. The other things that we'll search are property taxes, utilities. Our preliminary report will also reflect bonds and assessments assessed by the tax collector, and utilities. So in Sacramento region, it will reflect the city and county utilities and who is actually billing those. In other counties, they may not go through the city or the county. They might have private agencies. There are a few in Sacramento that'll reflect like Fruit Ridge Vista Water District or Placer County will have South Placer Municipal Utilities and Recology. So it's different for every region. But in my region, it's done through the city and county and a few private water agencies. So those items will be reflected on the preliminary report. We also search the seller's name, because if you have a judgment against you or a lawsuit or anything against you, it will reflect against your name and affect any and all property that you own in the county in which it is filed. Now, it'll also reflect if you have a solar lien or a UCC financing statement. A UCC financing statement is like personal property. Like, let's say you got a loan through your local utility company, like SMUD here will give you a loan for air conditioning or new windows. Then that'll be reflected on there as well. We don't see a lot of those anymore, but we do see a lot of solar loans. So those are generally assumed by the buyers, and we remove those, get those removed, and then they record a new one after closing in the buyer's name. Now, a judgment or a child support lien will take care of those as well if one pops up. And sometimes we're not sure if the lien will affect our seller or not. So we have a form that's called a statement of information or a statement of identity, and we'll ask the seller or the buyer to complete it to make sure that any lien that has a name similar to theirs can be eliminated or identified as their own by asking for this information from the consumer, the seller or the buyer. And usually they end up clear, but sometimes we get a hit and we have to resolve it before we close. But that's the whole point of title insurance, is to make sure that you're stepping into the property without having to assume the seller's lien that was maybe not identified. I guess that kind of folds into the second question about what it protects. Anything that's left outstanding will ultimately fall on the buyer, and if it is missed, then that's what your title insurance policy is for, to step in and take care of that.
Thank you. During escrow, the buyer's lender is also going to be busy processing the new mortgage. What kind of contact can the new home buyer expect to be having with their lender as they get everything together for the mortgage?
Well, one thing I hear often is the lender keeps asking me for the same thing. And, I've gone through this process a couple of times myself, and it does feel like the lender's asking me for pay stubs again. The lender's asking me for my W-2 again, and or maybe an updated bank statement. And it does feel like it's overwhelming because they're asking for those things constantly. But what happens is they might ask for it in the beginning, and then 2 weeks have passed or 3 weeks have passed, and they need a more current one, and that's why they're doing it. But the lenders are generally very good about keeping buyers informed as to the status. There's a couple of lenders out there that send a daily email to their home buyers or to the realtors and escrow. There's a couple of them that do like a Tuesday update or a Wednesday update. So I do see a lot of communication back and forth between the lenders and the buyers, and letting escrow and the real estate agents know what the status is.
So let's maybe talk for a moment about home warranties. Is it common for the seller to pay a warranty for your first year? If not, would you suggest that the new homeowner get a home warranty?
So it is very common for the buyer to ask the seller to provide a home warranty in the state of California. And there's a couple of reasons for that. When I bought my first house, I got a home warranty, and the power wasn't working somewhere, and I called the home warranty. They came out and just told me that the circuit breaker tripped. So I felt like a fool. Also, it was a new construction home, so for maybe 5 months in, my oven wasn't working, and called the home warranty, and they got it fixed within, I think a day or two. So, and it was a brand new oven. So, I mean, it really is beneficial for the buyer to have it, and it's beneficial for the seller to have it because it really takes the pressure and liability off of the seller by providing this home warranty to the buyer. Because if something breaks, like the air conditioner or the stove, like I said, often the buyers are left holding the bag, and they say the seller knew about it. Well, the seller most likely didn't know about it, but the home warranty comes in and takes care of everything magically, and everybody's happy. And of course, there are different levels of home warranty protection. Of course, the more they pay for the warranty, the better the warranty is. So I do strongly suggest one that will provide updated equipment. There's a base plan, a middle plan, and a higher end plan. If you do the higher end plan, it'll cover things that for example, new laws might have been passed to require have different requirements for replacing a hot water heater, and that high-end plan will cover those, the differences in those, whereas the middle-of-the-road plan will only cover, say, the replacement of the water heater, but not the new codes that have been implied since the date of that installation last took place. So it's definitely a good idea to have. It keeps you protected, and you don't have to worry about it because the home warranty takes care of everything for you.
So I guess now let's jump to the part when, say, the paperwork for the mortgage is now all taken care of. There aren't any issues with the property's title. The inspections are all finished and all the contingencies have been removed. So it's time to close escrow and complete the transfer ownership. Can you maybe walk us through what's going to happen for the buyer at the document signing? And is that when they have to pay the rest of their down payment?
Absolutely, yes. This is the exciting part. I just got a set of loan documents in yesterday, and the buyer was immediately informed by the lender, and she called me 3 times, but I was in another appointment. And then when she did reach me, she just could not contain her excitement. She was so happy. So I was preparing the documents, and I let her know that, yes, this is the amount that you need to close. And typically we'll ask them to either wire the funds at that point, and they'll often have wired the funds prior to coming into signing, depending on how quick the signing is from the time we get the loan documents. But if they, let's say I got loan documents in at 11 o'clock today, and we made a 4 o'clock appointment for the buyers to come in to my office to sign, and they would either wire the funds or they would bring in a cashier's check. Now, back in 1989, California passed a law that said, it was called the Good Funds Law, and we had to have a cashier's check or a wire transfer. Wire transfer is immediate availability of the funds for us to close, and a cashier's check is next day availability. But a personal check is a 10-day wait period, so we don't ever want to do that. It'll cause a serious delay in the closing. But when they come in to sign, we ask them to bring their ID with them because they have to be notarized on multiple documents. And we invite them into our conference room and we sit down and we go over every single page of what's in the document package. They're generally about an inch or so thick, and every single page is gone over. We want to make sure that they understand everything on those documents and that when they leave our office after signing that they're comfortable and ready to proceed with the home closing.
Great. So is there anything else that happens before the buyer gets the keys to their new home?
Yes. So they don't actually get the keys at the time of signing. They do that on the East Coast, but not here in California. When we do the signing, we'll typically scan everything back in and send it to the lender for them to review. Some lenders have an immediate availability for funding, and some have a waiting period. Some might take a day, some might take 2 days. But nowadays, with technology, most everybody is pretty close to being, you know, reviewing online. They don't need the originals in their possession, and they'll fund with a scan of everything and the originals to follow. Now, the seller will have also needed to have signed. So let's say in my case today, my buyer's coming in at 10 o'clock to sign, and then my seller's coming in at 3 o'clock to sign, and it's intended to close our escrow tomorrow. Fortunately, nowadays, again, with technology, we're able to record electronically. Recording electronically means that we scan everything in and submit it to the county, and they review it electronically instead of having the originals. Back in the olden days, we had to send the original paper copies to the county, and then if there was a problem, we had to have them back to fix them, and it could have been it caused a lot of delays in closings. Nowadays, electronic recordings, you know, there's a problem with it, and then we have the original here, so we'll just fix it real quick. And once the file actually records, then we let the realtors know, and then they hand the buyers their keys. But it's done by the realtor, not escrow.
Right. Okay. So, Lynn, it would be a mistake for me not to give you an opportunity to share your many years of wisdom on helping home buyers navigate and survive the escrow process. So any other tips you'd like to share?
There are so many things that the home buyers have to think about. One of the things that I really like to put out there is Once you're in contract, don't wait to do the things that you need to do. If your loan officer asks you for an item, get it over to them as soon as possible, because you might think that, oh, I can do that tomorrow after work, or, you know, it's the weekend, I'll do it on Monday. It could cause delays, and everything is done on a timeline. Lenders have certain days that they need to get things done by, and then they can move to the next step. And then, you know, you might, like reviewing the closing disclosure, for example, once you acknowledge the original closing disclosure, then you have to wait 3 business days before you can move forward. But there's other things too, like getting your homeowner's insurance taken care of, making sure that you fill out the paperwork that I send you as the buyer, because we need that information to help the process move forward, along with having your insurance in place. And not just, you know, don't just take the first quote that you get for insurance. Call around to a few different companies. I heard a situation yesterday where this one particular company was going to ask for pressure valve for the water on homes that are over 20 years old. And it's like, you might call the next company and you don't have to do that. So do a lot of homework, make sure that you get things done on time in a timely manner, and don't let things sit, because if you let it sit, it might delay your closing.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for all those tips, and thank you for joining us today and for your expertise. That's going to do it for this episode of First Home California. Thank you so much for listening. Please be sure to click the follow button on your podcast app so you'll never miss an episode. We'd also appreciate it if you tell a friend about the podcast. Even if they aren't a first-time home buyer, we've got a lot of information here that will help them navigate the home buying process. We also invite you to check out the First Home California page on our Department of Real Estate website. The address is DRE.CA.GOV/First Home California. I'm Christina Jimenez, and you are listening to First Home California, a production of the California Department of Real Estate.